Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Social Geek Radio fans. Jack Munson from Engage One-to-One joining you. It is 7 o'clock in the Great Midwest, and this is Social Geek Radio. My co-host is off, as we say, on assignment today. She's got a few plates she's spinning this week. First of all, she's been representing the IFA at the Legal Symposium, and I'm so jealous of this second thing. She's on her way right now to the GIFA Summit. That's the Google and IFA Summit that's happening in California for the remainder of this week. I spoke to a couple of IFA folks earlier today, Dan Gibson and some of those guys who are all on their way out there, and I could not be more jealous. I think they're going to have not just a terrific time, but I think they're gonna learn so much from the IFA's new partners and members at Google. We've been talking about it for the past few weeks, how the Google folks have really stepped up to the plate in franchising, and I think they're gonna be talking a lot about some really cool things coming from that partnership. So next week here on Social Geek Radio, Deb will be back with us live on the air, and I'm sure she'll give us a full assessment of what happened at the GIFA conference. First and foremost, is it GIFA or is it JIFA? I'm not really sure, so I'm sure she'll have the answer for that here on Social Geek Radio next week. But this week, very important broadcast coming to you live with a special guest, a friend of mine for a few years now from various IFA functions and franchise events. My good friend joining us, Mark Plump, Marketing Strategy at Weiss Communications. Good evening, Mark.
Hey, Jack. Good to be riding shotgun with you.
Well, thanks for joining me tonight. Without Deb here, I typically just ramble on by myself. So it's good that someone will be here to kind of reel me back in and talk about something of more relevance. But I appreciate you joining us here tonight, Mark. It was great seeing you at the FranTech event. What was that, about 3 weeks ago now in Denver?
3 weeks ago in Denver.
Yeah, and Weiss Communications, an important franchise establishment there in the Mile High City. So it was great to see you guys there on your home turf. Lots going on in Denver, it looks like, not only with franchising, but in the technology and marketing field. I was just so amazed to see such a great turnout from the franchise and marketing community there in Denver. Any overall thoughts on the FranTech show?
I was really pleased to see how many folks are so engaged. It was great that there was an opportunity to really have some deep conversations and understand a little bit more, rather than just thinking about links and content, that there was actually an opportunity to have some really deep conversations about social media and as it pertains to SEO, local, great stuff. So I think that the people is really what made it. And then some great presenters. I mean, Tim Resnick just blew my ears back.
Yeah, he was terrific. I've talked about it every week now, I think. DJ Patel, who spoke on the final day he was the first guy who ever made big data interesting to me, because usually when people start talking about big data and it's not, you know, social marketing specific stuff, first I get lost really quickly, and second I get real bored, and it turns into I start fighting off the nap. Resnick, DJ Patel, all of those guys really brought their A game and focused their discussions on franchising too, which a lot of conferences you don't see that. They kind of bring out their standard deck and you know, doesn't matter if they're talking to, you know, franchising or some other industry, it's all the same information. So
no, you're right, Jack. I think they were playing to the crowd. They knew that they had a sophisticated crowd there.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I was saying about Google earlier, some of these institutions and and organizations are really seeing the value in franchising, and I think they're really seeing the future in American commerce or in global commerce, you know, franchising playing a big part in that, or a lot of these big names would not be participating in some of these events. Speaking of events, there's another big event happening in Denver later this year that we're going to get to in just a few minutes that I know you're an integral part of, Mark. But first, tell us a little bit about Weiss Communications and the work that you guys are doing in franchising.
Sure. Thanks, Jack. Weiss Communications is an integrated agency, and a lot of people are curious when we say integrated what we're talking about. And we're somewhat agnostic regarding the tactics that we're going to use. So we like to find solutions to the issues that franchises and franchisees are having and see if it's going to be able to use advertising or public relations or social media or direct or guerrilla. We try to be able to tailor our solutions specifically to the issues that are at hand.
Interesting. And now you guys have been doing this in franchising for how long now?
Weiss has been doing it for 7 years now, and I've been with Weiss for four. So I think actually the first IFA that I saw you at was back in Las Vegas 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah. That was, you know, there are two kinds of IFA shows, the Vegas ones and the other ones. That's the milestones everyone seems to think of them at. But it just feels like you've been in the industry even longer because, you know, it seems like you guys have some pretty robust clients that you're working with. And are you doing most of that on the corporate or franchisor end, or are you doing a lot in sort of with the local franchisees as well?
For the most part, we work with the franchisor, but it's really crucial that we help the franchisees because ultimately getting down to the franchisee level is the things that's going to be able to get get the cash registers to ring, which is ultimately what the franchisors want. Successful franchisees make for a happy franchise. So there's times where we're able to help the national ad funds to provide kind of that ground cover, give at least, say, one promotion a month or one tactic a month that will be able to be used that if the franchisee doesn't do the things that they could do locally, at least there is that, you know, that air cover or ground cover, so there's some things in the marketplace for them. And then the franchisee can supplement that, and I think that we see the most successful franchisees are the ones that are aggressive on a local level.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds to me like that age-old argument of local brand versus national brand, it sounds to me like you've got some good examples and some good history on the local side, you know, being the place to be, right?
Oh, for sure. I think that as I alluded to about national keeping that ground cover, one of the things that we've seen that is really crucial for local brands, for local franchisees that are wanting to make sure that their individual location is the one that really sings, is to make sure that all of the local data aggregators that you get on the web, that the information is consistent and accurate. And it sounds so simple. But it's somewhat complex because I'm not just talking about what you would think of like the Google Plus, because obviously that's huge. But I'm thinking of things like Yelp and TripAdvisor and MapQuest and City Search. You need to make sure that all of those places, your information is the same. You know, what's the famous NAP, right? The name, address, and phone number, and website, and make sure that those are consistent across the board. There's one thing that we've just recently done. Our agency has moved from Uptown Denver, and we've moved further south. And we're seeing the impact of not doing what I just described to you, right? Cobbler's children don't have shoes kind of thing.
Right.
we haven't been diligent enough with updating our Facebook and the super pages and Axiom data, and our SEO has tumbled because there's confusion that Google sees, and it's causing us some challenges. So we're going to be getting on that and getting all of our data to match up with our new address.
And it's a good learning experience for you and your team as well to know, oh, yeah, this is what our clients go through, and this is the kind of pain they're going through on a regular basis, right?
Indeed.
What else can you tell us about any trends you're seeing or any case studies or results you're seeing on this whole local versus national argument?
Well, one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to highlight somebody in your backyard, Jack, that is doing an excellent job socially at the franchisee level. There is a Dairy Queen in Naperville. They're on Worley Road, and their Facebook page is fantastic. So even if you were to go to Facebook and you hit and search on Dairy Queen on Worley Road, and that's W-E-H-R-L-I, Worley Road, you'll see that they've got cakes from Mother's Day that has the Alfred Hitchcock movie as the picture for Mother's Day. They've got this cute couple where one of the guys during his shift asked a girl to go to the prom with him using a cake, a Dairy Queen cake, and she said yes. And so, I mean, they are so entrenched in the community. They are doing a fantastic job of getting the type of engagement that you would want to see.
Wow.
And the number of people that are liking the things that they have, just the individual posts, tells you that just about everything that they post gets some kind of love. Now, nationally, Dairy Queen, in my opinion, just is not helping them with their website. There's no link, for example, on the location page for that Naperville store on the Dairy Queen website back to the Facebook page. And so this is one of the times where I would really want to counsel Dairy Queen Corporate. Look, you've got a great franchisee here that is driving a lot of traffic into their place. The least you can do is to, you know, give them a reciprocal link on your own website that ties back to the page. So
yeah.
I think there's a great example of somebody who gets it locally and a national opportunity to be able to tighten that up for them.
Right. I'm looking at the page you're talking about right now, and it's exactly as you described. It's you know, lots of fun pictures of gooey ice cream and cakes and all of that kind of stuff, and kids and families enjoying stuff. It's like, you know, somebody's really doing it right here on a local level, and you can't do this kind of thing on the national level, but the corporate brand could be helping in lots of ways, it looks like.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, I think that it'll be a great case study to. I know I keep my eyes on it. I try to every so often check to see if any changes made to the corporate site, and if corporate Dairy Queen is starting to pick up some of these things, because this is definitely some good stuff.
Yeah, and you know they're not too far from me as you mentioned, so I may have to stop in and get myself a little blizzard action this week and see what's going on.
I like
the Dairy Queen in Naperville.
Like
there you go. I'll take a selfie and see if they'll post that for us. So
of course,
so excellent.
They will.
any other thoughts on some other systems or franchisees or local businesses or anything that you really think are knocking it out of the park right now?
Well, Jack, again, being in Denver, we're one of the two states that have legalized marijuana.
And, I know where this is
there
going,
are,
yes.
Yeah, exactly. There are some very innovative folks out here. Really close to our old office where you came by and saw some a couple years back, there's a guy who has a calzone restaurant. And one of the things that he does is he is in a big delivery business. I mean, he delivers calzones until 4 in the morning. And he is only 2 doors away from a dispensary. And so one of the things that we encouraged them to do is what we call fusion marketing. So the calzone restaurant has discount cards specifically on the, at the counter for the, at the dispensary, and as you can imagine, those discount cards get picked up quite a bit. And also, when he's making his deliveries, so now he's going away from the location, but he's accessing customers that may not be of that particular dispensary, he's able to also provide them some advertising to get them to come back to that specific dispensary. These types of fusion marketing tactics, when you are not competing for customers, is amazingly powerful.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, we kind of joke about it. It does sound like a Saturday Night Live weekend update story that, you know, marijuana gets legalized in the calzone business skyrockets, 1,000% in the first month. But if you kind of take a step back from, you know, looking at this as kind of a gag, it's like, wait a second, you are absolutely right. There are some real opportunities out here, to the calzone guys, you know, have at it. Good luck. I good for them for listening to some sage advice.
Exactly.
Tell us, I know this is kind of an awkward awkward leap from marijuana dispensaries to healthcare, but I guess that's how we got into it in the first
medical,
place,
there's
right?
a medical component, Jack. There's a medical
right, that's
component.
How we got into this in the first place, right? So let's talk a little bit about healthcare, because you guys are one of the few marketing agencies or experts in the franchise field that are really making a name for yourself specifically in healthcare. So I do want to spend a good portion of our broadcast tonight talking about that. Tell us what you're seeing as far as you know, what's going on in healthcare franchising trends and that sort of thing.
Well, Jack, as you know, with the most recent national shift in healthcare with the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, whichever you prefer to call it, we've seen that there is going to be new people, new entrants coming to the marketplace, but we're also seeing that in some cases affordability could be debated, and in some cases access is also being restricted. What we've seen is more than 100 franchise systems today are already providing some form of medical services. It could be in-home services, it could be senior care, it could be weight loss, different types of services. And the government has said that by 2020, healthcare spending in the U.S. is expected to increase to $4.5 trillion, which is just about one-fifth of our nation's GDP. So we
Wow.
know that this is a great opportunity for franchisers and for medical professionals. So one of the things that we've come upon is over the last couple of years, we're about to hold the third annual healthcare franchising conference. We're going to hold that in Denver this time, September 18th to the 20th. And we've got franchisinginhealthcare.com is the website. We have got currently our 13 items up because we're still trying to lock down speakers. But as soon as we get that updated, we'll be able to have an updated website and everybody can see where to go and how to get involved.
Excellent. We'll stay on top of that. I think it sounds to me like something I myself might want to attend this year. I've been following this for the past couple of years, and I think this is the year that I may I may take the dive and come back to Denver for another great conference. Tell us a little bit about what happens at the conference. Is it mostly franchisors? Is it people in healthcare outside of franchising? Who typically would we see there being part of these discussions?
Certainly franchisors who are already entrenched. So there's current franchisors. The first part of the first day is for prospective franchisors to kind of help them navigate what they would need to do in order to be able to start franchising. So there is a, I guess we'll call it a pre-show event that focuses on what you need to do to get your healthcare system or idea to the franchise status. Then what we also have is we've got investors and entrepreneurs and medical professionals that are there curious about the opportunity. So I've seen dentists that have thought that they would be able to really leverage kind of a potentially commoditized type product, and if they can have a tight operation, potentially be able to start to generate revenue that way. We've seen some chiropractors that have tried to see if there's a way that they can leverage certain types of chairs, like therapeutic chairs, and is there a way that they can build a business by sort of blending two types of businesses together? It's fascinating to see some of these ideas and to see what the market will bear.
Yeah, and the one thing we know, it's all going to look different 5 years from now, right? I mean, that's the one thing I think we can count on. So the folks that are getting involved now and doing some innovative stuff, I mean, they're the ones we're all going to be following 5 years from now.
Right, no doubt. I mean, last time we saw this great presentation from Dr. Philip Briggs that talked about a medical home team, and you think, huh, what's that? Well, in this case, it would be a group of professionals dedicated to you as an individual, and that they are leveraging the whole concept of the measured self, right? I mean, I know I've got a Fitbit on me right now, and so if you can measure it, you can improve it. And so now I've got a team that is going to be able to routinely monitor my blood pressure, my pulse, my weight, my fluctuating weight, I probably is more fair to say, but that sort of thing, and they would be able to help with nutritional programs and exercise programs and dietary programs. It's just a fascinating idea how that can be turned into a full-on business.
Like I said, there's so many things out there that are changing, and I'd never even imagined something like, you know, the home healthcare team, or monitoring all of your healthcare status or statistics or metrics or whatever, however you would say it. Wow, endless opportunities there, and I would assume too that for healthcare professionals coming to an event like this, just due to the changes in healthcare, there might be a lot of people who are. Maybe interested in taking a different career path, right?
Oh, indeed. Jack, I think you speak the truth there. There are going to be physicians that maybe have decided, wow, this whole trying to operate, you know, as a primary care physician in different hospitals and stretched thin, trying to get to so many different locations, plus all the risk and the malpractice insurance. Wow, let's just focus on a particular specialty and not have to deal with all that.
And maybe actually deal with people. What a concept!
So, oh, healthcare and people. That is a good concept.
People. I can't tell you how excited I am about this healthcare franchising conference. Again, that's September 18th through the 20th in Denver. Is that downtown, or is that going to be, where is that going to be?
We are looking to hold it at the Inverness Golf Resort. So part of
nice.
The 18th might be an opportunity to swing some clubs. How's that sound, Jack?
I think that sounds like a perfect way to chat with some medical professionals and do a little networking out on the greens. That's a terrific idea. Count me in.
Perfect.
And again, the website when it's ready will be franchisinginhealthcare.com. Mark, we're starting to run a little short on time, so before we run out, I did want to find out what's the best way for franchisors or anyone in franchising, whether you're in healthcare or other areas, if you're looking for some help in getting some marketing, advertising, PR assistance from you and the team at Weiss, what's the best way to reach you guys?
There's a couple ways. Our website is Weiss Ideas, WEISEIDEAS, weissideas.com. My Twitter handle is Mark at Weiss, and I have an underscore in there, so it's Mark underscore at AT underscore Weiss. And so, we've had some awesome Twitter exchanges, and I'm hoping that we actually have something that is tweet-worthy that I've said today too. And then
there will be plenty, my friend. Thank you.
And then you can always reach us at 303-996-9940.
All right, give that phone number one more time.
303-996-9940.
Excellent. And we will we'll put together some links, phone numbers, a Twitter address and everything that we'll have on the Social Geek Radio Facebook page. So if anybody wants a quick and easy place to get all of that stuff, just see us there. And one final piece of business that we need to take care of, Mark.
Yes, we do.
Aside from today being the day where all of the IFA folks are heading out to GIFA with Google, today also happens to be the birthday of my co-host, Deb Evans. So,
happy birthday, Deb!
Happy birthday, Deb. We were trying to think of something wild and outrageous to do here for Deb's birthday, but I think the best thing we could do is encourage anyone who's listening to go say hi to Deb on all of her favorite social places. So she is at DebCE on Twitter. That's at DebCE. Go there, say happy birthday. You can go and say happy birthday to Deb on Facebook. You can find her there pretty easily, or even Google+. That's where I said hello to her today, thinking that, Facebook birthdays, that's so 2013. The cool place to do it now is Google+, I guess. So please go say hi to Deb and happy birthday. And as I mentioned, we'll look forward to hearing from Deb next week to see what was shaking at the GIFA conference. But for this episode of Social Geek Radio, again, I want to thank you, Mark, for joining us tonight. It's been a great chat, and I hope we can continue this further on down the road.
That sounds great. Thanks for having me, Jack, and hopefully next time we'll get a chance to have some time with Deb, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe we'll – hey, I know. Let's do it live in Denver in September. What an idea.
Sweet.
Mark Plum from Weiss Communications, thanks for joining me tonight. Next week we'll be speaking with John Gunnels, who heads up marketing and social media at Little Caesars. Little Caesars Pizza. That's next week on Social Geek Radio. Good night, everybody.